This is the Tara Lake Podcast. I'm Tara Lake. Welcome to part two of the Barack Obama Block Party, the after party. In this edition, I'll share the second half of my interview on race, biracial identity, Barack Obama, and the presidential election with Dr. Caroline Streeter, professor of English and African American Studies at UCLA. Also in this half, a slightly less than formal roundtable discussion with two up-and-coming leaders in the North Carolina Triangle. Bobby Banks, a health behavior doctoral student at University of North Carolina Chapel Hill, and Dr. Tysanna Jones, professor of education at Peace College in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's get started with part two of my discussion with Caroline Streeter. We begin with a look at race-based perceptions of the electorate. So I'm wondering then, because there was so much talk about this notion that blacks were not able to see beyond race in this election cycle, whether they were concerned with how authentic Barack was as an African American, or whether instead they weren't perhaps sophisticated enough to see beyond Barack Obama's race to consider him as a candidate based on merit and policies. And I'm wondering whether white America sort of got a pass on those types of issues. It seemed like for much of the cycle, even when Hillary Clinton was still a possibility for the Democratic candidacy. It almost seemed as if the United States was sort of stuck on this idea of identity politics. It was that Hillary was gendered, Barack Obama was race. And I'm wondering, getting back to that, was there somewhere where white America sort of got a pass on its own preoccupation with the idea of race in this election cycle?
Well, yes, I think the example of Hillary Clinton is an excellent one. And the way that so-called women's interests were pitted against black interests, there's a long, long history of that going back to 1865 and the emancipation and 1866 and granting black people the vote.
Where black men, really.
Exactly. Where this divide, this gender race divide, where being black was de facto gendered male, and being a woman was de facto raced white. That kind of pitting, of course, erases black women. We can be both black and we can be women. And the discourse and the controversy about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama very sadly reproduced now, you know, going on 200-year-old eradication or putting under erasure black women. What the United States suffers from is that the idea that we can only have one exemplary minority at a time, and we can only reconcile the demands of one minority group at a time, even though, of course, women aren't a minority, but There's a problem with this idea of exceptionalism and that integration has to occur in steps. I think that this idea that black people were voting according to their racial interests is completely ridiculous. I think that the whole idea that you can't rely on somebody different to represent your best interests, and that's one way of that's one example of what you said about identity politics, that is specious, because if we had to do it that way, we have a majority white male government and we'd have to assume that they don't represent us, and that's not true. The whole structure of race in the country, as you say, it's ambiguous and it's illogical. It doesn't really make sense. But we're carrying a lot of historical baggage. And so I think that Obama's candidacy and his now status as the president-elect, as you say, it represents the coming together of all these different historical threads. And it's certainly a tipping point. It's certainly a moment of transformation in terms of people being to identify across racial groups with a black candidate, and people who are not African American believing that that person can represent their best interests. because African-American people have had to believe that non-African-Americans are going to represent their best interests. And so have women.
That's, you know, and it's amazing. Caroline Streeter, I could sit here and talk with you about this for another, who knows how long. In fact, the issue of African-American women, unfortunately, just completely went under the media radar and really wasn't out there in the public discourse.
Well, African-American I would say is that Michelle Obama has been absolutely crucial in this campaign as because she does authenticate Barack Obama in terms of his black identity. She is a quote-unquote real black woman. Mm. And I think were Barack Obama to be married to a white woman, for example, it wouldn't be possible for us to have the narrative of, for example, an African-American family is going to enter the White House.
Yes. It may also not have been possible for Barack Obama to have been elected.
Oh, absolutely not. Because as it was, we already had these kind of whisperings. Again, I think that they were defeated because Americans realized that demonizing miscegenation or demonizing interracial sexuality is unacceptable. However, there were places in popular culture where we were teased with the idea that Barack Obama wanted some kind of sexual access to white women.
Yes.
So, for example, in the Target next to my house, you could buy a greeting card with a busty white woman wearing a very, very tight Obama T-shirt.
Mm.
And it was a happy birthday card. One of the fears of black men rising in the socioeconomic classes is that they want access to white women.
Yeah. It's been so wonderful to have you. I'm running out of time here. I wonder if you can tell me, I think that we will look back on this period and see this as a time where the United States really experienced a change, really experienced a shift, one that perhaps we can't necessarily completely articulate or even see at the moment, but certainly I think we will look back on this moment and see it as a time of immense change, or at least immense possibility for change. And I wonder, what would you say is the meaning of this moment in terms of the American story? How will history regard this moment in our racial history, do you think?
Well, I think that it's clear that not only in the United States, but as the media has been saying, even more so in the international realm, in the world at large, it's a very moving moment in a global way for there to be a symbolic healing of America's original sin, of slavery, of the enslavement of African Americans, of the Jim Crow system, really a form of American apartheid, even though people don't often recognize that. But I think that for older people who are Southern, who are African American, like my own father, who's 75 years old, he grew up in North Carolina working on the tobacco farms and on the cotton farms. He could only go to school when there was no farm work to be done. He went to a segregated school. He joined the military at the time when the military was integrated in Korea. It was very, very tense. So for him to be able to vote for Barack Obama and see a black president, that's extraordinary. And we're only going on two generations removed from that.
Yes.
So I think that in the world at large, to see that kind of sign of reconciliation, it gives hope. I think it's a symbol to people all over the world that it's possible for groups of people to grow and to change and to come together for the common good, to come together as a nation, and that that's something that is a part of democracy. Because the whole idea of our founding documents and all men created equal, I think one of the most moving things about the United States is that over and over again, any minority group appeals to that document. Because the document says all men are created equal. And you can only withhold that from a group for so long. So that's the really special thing about America as a nation. So I think that's one big thing. So I think that we're at a moment now where we've got the coming together of history and the future kind of in the present moment. You know, we've got the present past and the future present at the same time.
Mm.
So that's a historical transition that we can all be proud of.
Thank you so much. Dr. Caroline Streeter, I was tickled just a moment ago. I said, now leave it to an English professor to invoke the notion of tense in a discussion of race with the notion of the present past. Oh, my goodness. I thank you so much for your time and for your insights. We're definitely going to have to do it again.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I am just so pleased that you invited me.
That was Caroline Streeter, professor of English and African American Studies at UCLA. For more on Dr. Streeter and links to information on her forthcoming book, Tragic No More, Transformation of the Mulatto-Mulatta in Post-Civil Rights Culture, visit taralake.com.
I would like to see a cleaner earth for my child that I'm bringing into the world very soon.
I think it's time for change. I want a better future for my children.
Obama. I would like our environment to be safe.
Necesitamos respetar nuestro planeta.
Este es nuestro América. Mi América.
I wanted to have a real, face-to-face, down-home chat to wrap up the most impactful issues related to this year's historical election. So, I hauled two colleagues off to a local coffee shop, plied them with high-caffeine drinks, and pressed record. Here's what happened.
Tara Lake here with Tysana Jones, Professor of Education at Peace College in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Bobby Banks, doctoral student in the Department of Health Behavior and Health Education at the School of Public Health at the University of North Carolina at UNC here at Chapel Hill. And we actually are in Chapel Hill at a coffee spot that will remain nameless. Tysana Jones, welcome.
Hello.
And Ms. Bobby Banks, welcome.
Hey.
Great. Very excited. Dr. Jones and Bobby Banks, thank you so much for joining us at the Barack Obama block party. I have some questions, but before I even get there, Dr. Jones, what are your thoughts on the win of President-elect Barack Obama and what his presidency means at this point?
Right now, I'm really excited. Initially, I was afraid to get too excited because I thought it was going to be some snafu, something was going to happen, and all of a sudden, McCain was going to be president. But now that Barack, definitely the best candidate, has won, I'm just really excited. It's almost like a euphoric state, but there's a lot of work to be done. So that's where I am now. It's like, what needs to be done? Mm-hmm. How can we help? And I think that this has shown a lot of us that we have a voice and that we are a part of the process where a lot of people have been disenfranchised for so long and expect to be disenfranchised, so they have not participated or have had any emotional connection. And I think his win has allowed us to be a part of this country again, and black people are saying, I am an American, and my voice means something in this country.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm going to move it over to Bobby Banks. Same question, Ms. Banks. How are you feeling at this point? What are your thoughts on the win of President-elect Barack Obama?
To sum it up, I'm proud. I'm proud of everyone's involvement in this election process. I'm proud of all the people who struggled so that Barack could get to this point. I was exceptionally amazed at watching all the election activities here in the U.S. and abroad. Like, look at the power of this man. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. Like you, to see everyone being involved and engaged was just beautiful to me. And, I know he's going to do a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so, I can't move on in the conversation without addressing it. I think it's so interesting that we're sitting here in the Durham-Chapel Hill area, and North Carolina has gone Carolina blue for the first time
ever.
In 30
years.
How long is it? 30 years?
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. And so it's 76. Been well over, it was over three decades. What is the meaning of that? We've all been here in North Carolina for a little while, a couple of months, others of us have experience in different ways. You've been here how many years, Bobby?
About three.
Okay. So what does this mean at this point? I'll start with you, Bobby.
Well, I wasn't here clearly 32 years ago. But it's exciting. I went on CNN every morning. I was waiting for the state to change from that shade of gray that it was on for 2 days. But it's exciting. I think it's showing the shifting priorities of Americans. I think it's showing the shifting demographics here within the state. And I think that people finally get it. Mm-hmm. They understand that it's me and it's also beyond me. And I was excited to see the state mm-hmm. turn blue. Very excited. Very excited.
Definitely. I have to agree. I went here undergrad. I went to ANC for 4 years, and now I'm back after almost 10. And it's a very different feeling. North Carolina is very, still very much conservative in certain ways. I just remember driving down the highway recently and seeing a lot of people who weren't black with Barack Obama t-shirts, the people flying in from across the country, once again, who weren't black, but they were very much involved. So what was obvious to me very early on, it wasn't a black and white thing. It's an American thing. And I think mm-hmm. that North Carolina is a state that shows that with diversity that is here, and the conservatism that is here as well, but seeing how active people have become overall, mm-hmm. regardless of race and ethnicity, but being active and realizing it's about the issues at hand, mm-hmm. and he is the best and was the best candidate, and to see the best candidate win is phenomenal.
Now, I have to take this back. Disclosure for everybody listening at home, Tysana and I actually got to hang out quite a bit doing some volunteering with the Barack Obama campaign. We did some canvassing.
Yes, some phone calls.
Some phone calls and things like that.
Our parties. Our debate parties.
We threw debate parties. So we were somewhat active. And I'm wondering, based on your experience out there, and I guess we had somewhat of an advantage because we got to work a great deal in African-American communities mm-hmm. here in North Carolina. But did you expect, based on that experience, for the state's vote to show up as it did for Barack Obama, even after the long hours of deliberation, counting and whatnot? Did you expect it to go that way? And what did you find when you were out there?
When I was out in the field, and we were in predominantly black areas, I was really surprised and I was excited about the work that had been done before we got there. In one area, for example, it was obviously a very poor area and in the cut more than anything
mm-hmm,
else.
Mm-hmm.
But they had been very organized, and they had participated in the primaries. And some people even said, oh, this is the first time I've voted, and I even did it in the primary. And I had to come back and explain, oh, you didn't need to vote again. But they were they knew things. They were much more advanced as far as information-wise than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. And people were organized. That was the beauty about the areas that we had worked in. One area, another area went to, the woman said, oh, I can tell you who voted on this street. We all went together. We made sure that everyone was together. We all voted. So there was a collectiveness.
Oh, yeah. That was the woman who pointed out the house down the street from us and said, oh, but they didn't vote down there. Because everybody on this block went to vote. And they, right there, that house right there, the blue house, they did not vote. Yeah.
So that was phenomenal. With those kind of people that we met, that was a really good experience to see the organization and that communities are still working as communities mm-hmm. here. So I was very excited. And I did anticipate those people actually getting out to vote.
Okay. Barack Obama has become president. He's got a lot of challenges ahead of him. Just in the news in the past few days, he certainly has hit the ground running and really already dealing with some very ugly things in terms of international mm-hmm. policy, foreign policy. And all those issues are critical. But, you know, I'm interested in Barack Obama's challenges in terms of the needs of African-American communities and what challenges he's going to face, not just in terms of the needs of African-American communities who may represent middle-class communities, poor communities, working-class communities, etc. But I'm also interested in sort of his challenges in terms of perception and expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, what black folks expect now that Barack Obama has become president, what types of issues he's going to face. What are we thinking? Are there, what do we think might be some of the expectations, the ideas? Will those change? Will they remain the same? And in what ways will those impact Barack Obama's presidency, or at least thoughts about it?
I think some of the issues will definitely stay the same as far as a healthcare, mm-hmm. as far as working rights mm-hmm. and job availability and those kind of things, and communities and education and people getting what they need from those places. But I guess my biggest concern of what to expect is I know that he knows he's going to be under the eye of the mm-hmm. media in every single thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want our expectations to make him, I don't want us to expect him to be a Superman, to mm-hmm. come and save us from, mm-hmm. you know, democracy, has it been how it's treated us before. And that's kind of where I'm in this place of, I feel like I don't know. Like, I don't know how people are going to perceive him differently and how he's going to be held up to a different standard. We know that part, but what's it going to mean in our everyday? I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. I'm still processing what this is going to mean after January 20th.
Mm-hmm. I saw an article from Alice Walker. It was a letter to Barack Obama.
I think that appeared on theroot.com.
It did. And the last sentence was, "We are the people that we've been waiting for." Mm-hmm. And it spoke to me like, Barack is the most powerful man in this world at this moment, but he is not the savior of all mankind.
Yes.
He has inspired us. He has moved us all. He has clearly mobilized this country in a way that it's never been mobilized before. But at the end of the day, when your question about the African-American communities, we've seen what we were capable of doing 40, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. We still have that.
Yeah.
We still have that. Mm. So I think the expectation is for some that Barack is the savior and he needs to do this and he needs to do that. But we are the people that we've been waiting for. Yeah. We definitely are. We definitely are. So I'm hoping that people see that just as Barack is capable of doing some of these things, we are at the grassroots level as well.
Y'all are so pragmatic. So and I think that your comments are rich, but you know, and meaningful. But do you mean to tell me that I'm not going to see Jay-Z step up into politics? I'm not going to see Raheem or, you know, my girl Taisha's baby daddy step up and be a father? I mean, yeah.
I think that because I think Bobby is just also saying that, yes, he is the leader. But at the same time, I think people have recognized, people that have lost faith and have felt that they couldn't do and they were hopeless, he has given them an opportunity to hope and to say, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And look at me. You know, I have these degrees. And same thing with Michelle. I have these degrees. I worked my butt off. Mm-hmm. Now I've done it. Look at me. You too can do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the spirit that I feel from him. I think that because he has been successful, because he has shown his faith of what it means to be successful, what it means to be articulate, what it means to be a father, and, you know, having his girls love him and adore him, and how he can have that relationship with them, and how he can also be the same man with, you know, holes in the bottom of his shoes, because he's working so hard. He's worked hard to get to where he is. So I do think Taisha's baby daddy might step it up and say, oh, I need to be a man. I need to take care of my children. It's more than just making babies. It's about being a father, because this man who's the president, who can fly here or there, he can come home for dinner. He can take out the trash. Mm-hmm. He can be a man and be responsible at the same time as running the world. And I just think a lot of men and women have never had a picture of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think that Barack and Michelle Obama are providing an image that a lot of people just have never, ever had in their world. Mm-hmm. And now it's making sense. And they now have a better model than Jay-Z, or no diss to Jay-Z, but then someone off the street that they have no relationship to. And they just see the, I guess, the prize and not the work that comes behind all the hard work that they've done to get to where they are.
Okay, so I got to tell you, I'm still holding on to this fantasy of hip-hop politics. I'm still seeing Russell Simmons stepping up at some point, you know, congressman, I don't know. And it's fine if I'm the only one.
I would love to.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
I mean, you never know. That's a possibility. We have comedians running for it.
They even know.
That's definitely a possibility. Yeah.
Jesse Ventura was a wrestler. He didn't do anything.
There we go.
So I don't think it's not possible. I think that the drive, the image is there. The seeds have been planted. And like you said earlier, Bobby, that we're there. It's us. Mm-hmm. We're the people we've been waiting for. And I think people have finally seen their power mm-hmm. and their work. A lot of people who've never knocked on doors before have knocked on doors. A lot of people who've never made phone calls have made phone calls. A lot of people who've made donations to a political campaign have put their 5 and 10 and 20 into the pot, and they've seen the results of those things happen. And you have the fruit. We've been planting seeds and watering and watering and watering, and the fruit has yet to come. And now we have the fruit that's actually, we can harvest it, and we can take part in that harvest. And that's the process. We've missed that. So this is the first time we've actually seen our harvest. Our parents were able to go from the back of the bus to be in the front of us. They've seen the changes from what happens when they march, what happened when they sat in, what happened when they do these things. We've just lived in the benefits of those things, and we took those things for granted. And so now we've participated, and now we can't take things for granted any longer, because we see how much further we have to go and how much more, you know, we have to be a part of it to make those things happen, you know. So
yeah, and I'm going to shift a little bit. I want to talk about, because one of the things that came up was this notion of Barack Obama's image and the type of, I suppose, message that he sends as a family man, obviously enriched by his wife, enriched by his children. And part of what was monumental about this campaign was being able to see a woman like Michelle Obama,
yes,
African American, mm-hmm, well-educated, honest, mm-hmm, right, at forthright, and watching the transition in the media, too, from this sort of demonizing of Michelle Obama. It's almost as if the media, of course, didn't know what to do with her, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm, it was sort of like, oh, okay, you know, one minute Fox is calling her baby mama, Barack mm-hmm Obama's baby mama, right? The next minute, they are referring to her as an angry black woman. The next minute, there was the cover, which posed both of them with this sort of all of the fears of some aspects of white America, right? That this terrorist militant
under the New Yorker
cover. Then we had this shift, right? She went from there to angry black woman, militant woman. You know, she's never been proud of her country. There was that other clip, right? For the first time in my adult life, I'm proud of my country. Went from there to, oh my gosh, she's the next Jackie O.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. And all of this attention. Yeah, right. So it's like, oh, really? Right. Oh, okay, she's fabulous. We love her. We love her dress. What right do you make of all this attention? And, you know, before I even go there, the symbolism of Michelle Obama. Was there something about Michelle Obama that authenticated or enlivened Barack Obama's candidacy?
I just remember Michelle saying on so many occasions, I love my husband, and my breath was just taken away. Even seeing them kiss after his acceptance speech, just beautiful to me. And what I liked about Michelle, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but as you were speaking, as the media was saying all these things about her, she didn't flinch.
Mm.
She didn't flinch. I mean, if she felt the need to respond, she did. But I don't even know if she ever gave a formal response to the New Yorker.
Mm.
And that's what I love about them. I think Spike Lee did an interview about some movies who had not shown black mm-hmm men in World War II, talking about some of the major films mm-hmm that
yes
have gotten major awards. And the interviewer kept questioning him. He's like, you know, I'm just going to take a Barack Obama right now. Like, it's time for me to just shut it down.
Yeah.
So that's what I appreciate about mm-hmm not only Michelle, but that entire family. Mm-hmm. They know when to, you know.
Yeah, let it be.
Just let it go.
Yes.
So that's what I love about Michelle. And I love that she loves her husband,
yes,
her family, and her country, despite what the popular media has made her out to be.
And I think we haven't even seen that, too. I mean, you mentioned that, the notion of the intimacy between Barack and Michelle. And I mean, I'm sorry, I haven't seen anything. Isn't that just beautiful?
It's beautiful.
They will kiss as if the camera is not watching.
Mm-hmm.
They will hold each other. And what's odd about this, not only do we not see this in the media, we don't even see this. We don't see this in film representations of blacks.
We don't see it with my parents. I love Nikki. I mean, I didn't see them like that until I was in college.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I saw Barack Obama and Michelle Obama together, they were supporting John Kerry. And he came to Las Vegas and they spoke. And I was thinking, wow, I love them together. Mm-hmm. I want him to be president. I saw the relationship between him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real. It was a real relationship. It's not this media thing that, you know, the cameras watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell they have a pure respect and love and appreciation for each other. And it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And she does give him, we didn't know him, I think she gave him authenticity. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, you got mm-hmm a black wife. Hey, now.
Okay.
And she's a sister. She's I can talk
mm-hmm
to her. I want to sit down and have
hello
a link with her. Like, I want to get
hello
to know her
mm-hmm
to learn who her husband is. And that's what I want to sit down with Michelle Obama. Like, I would love to.
And she's a black woman that we know. I kept saying, but she's a black woman
mm-hmm
from the south side of Chicago
mm-hmm
with a perm. That's right. Hello. I know
mm-hmm
this woman.
I can identify.
And, you know, Barack and Michelle are not the exception.
No.
They're, as you said earlier, I guess the best word I can think of right now is kind of a model. And to see this family in solidarity, a black family, was beautiful for me.
Sasha and Malia
are so cute.
I love them.
We are just moments away from the IMUS controversy. We're just moments away from
mm-hmm
the IMUS, in which, you know, that really highlighted, you know, there was the IMUS and then there was the Oprah sort of two-day series. It really highlighted this issue that we have with the image of African-American women in America, which is not whole, which is not complete, which tends to portray African-American women as sex-crazed, as
mm-hmm
less than educated, as these sort of persons who are not taking responsibility for themselves. And to see Three black women in the White House, to see two little black girls growing up in the White House. How does it make you feel? What are you looking forward to?
The prom. I think it's at
the prom. To see them grow up and to see them really change the image of little black girls across the country is going to be beautiful. Like the Easter egg hunt, it's going to be a different situation now. And I think I want to go back quickly to something you said about with Michelle Obama saying that she, the whole idea of her not being patriotic and the idea of being American. I didn't think of myself as American until I left this country. And so as a black woman, I think that she brought some conversations up that a lot of people took for granted and never even thought about before. So I understood exactly what she was talking about because I've been there. Oh yeah, I'm from America. Oh yeah, I'm an American. So, but seeing these young ladies grow up and to grow into women in the White House, like Malia will be like 17 at the end of the, by the time he leaves. So she'll be a woman when she's leaving the White House. We'll be able to see her grow and you know, become and just all those. I just think it's beautiful to see that. And this whole idea of imagery, which is changing the image of what black women are for America. We see the Little Kims, we see the BET. So we finally have something that's going to give the opposite, the side that I'm more accustomed to. And some of the other people are more accustomed to. We get to see that image opposed to what's BET, late nights, and that kind of business.
I want to come back to the idea of patriotism in a moment. I want to go back to Michelle and Malia, which you brought back around. I appreciate that.
Appreciate
Michelle's actually Malia. I like that. She came back, circled life. Again, Bobby, your thoughts on...
I'm excited for those two little girls. I was watching an interview of Michelle talking about the opportunities they will have being in the White House. They will meet people from all around the world. I mean, daily. That's amazing.
And
that is absolutely. And they already, at the ages they are now, you know, especially the oldest one, she looks so grounded and mature. I would love to see her at 17.
I'm excited.
She might be president 2000-something. Hey, you know, she's well on her way. I'm very excited for her. Exactly. Yeah. I'm excited for the opportunities that they will have.
Okay, so we're winding,
it's amazing.
Winding down. And, you know, you talked about patriotism. I remember all the images of African Americans waving their flag at the convention, the Democratic National Convention this summer. The images of African American folk running through the streets with flags in places like Harlem. We went out and got a flag for our household. There is a flag posted outside of my home.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's big.
You know, friends and I were like, really?
Really?
I'm saying,
I haven't done that yet.
I'm saying really not.
I would have got me a flag. I said, no, I'm going to get this flag. It's going outside the house. And I got it before Barack Obama was elected, actually. And we put it up. We had it up there through Election Day. It's still up there now. And I, you know, I've been having conversations about this. I said, is there anybody more patriotic than African Americans? I feel like if African Americans have ever had less than patriotic feelings, it probably has more to do with the fact that we get the message that America does not belong to black folks. And not necessarily that there is somehow some aversion to American identity among African Americans. But how is that going? How is Barack Obama's presidency going to change, do you think, the ownership, the stake that African Americans feel here in the U.S.?
I mean, like you said, we are a piece of this pie now. I don't know about your education growing up, but I never saw too many people of color in my textbooks. I didn't see my first black physician until I was well into my teens, and I was a military brat. We were very well traveled. So to see he is now a piece of this American pie, when my child goes in the classroom, it will not be a sea of homogenous-looking males going across the classroom wall. You will have a black president as your 44th president of the United States, and you are a piece of this pie. So I think I don't mind putting the flag out now. You gave me a pretty good idea.
Hey.
I feel American. I definitely do.
Yeah.
Not to say that I didn't before, but I definitely feel like a piece of this pie now.
And that's interesting. As you say, you were military, and you said you weren't really sure. You know, and that, to me, that speaks volumes. I remember being in trouble in first grade for not doing the Pledge of Allegiance because I just didn't feel that whole justice for all thing in the first grade. I got suspended in 12th grade for the same issue. So it's always been this ongoing issue with me. And like I said, I didn't know or think about being American until I left this country and was in a foreign country and a foreign country, a European foreign country. And I obviously stood out as American with my dreads down my back and, you know, all these other American, you know, items of clothing. So I was like, wow, you're American. And I was like, oh, I even stopped. Oh, yeah, I am. Because I never had considered myself that way. And I'm shocked you have a flag. That's exciting. Like, I'm not quite there. But I feel better about it. You know what I mean? I really feel like there is a possibility that before now I wasn't sure about. Like the night before the election, I couldn't sit still. I was anxious. I thought that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't happen now, I didn't know what state this place could be in, and the level of respect that we would not have throughout this world, because the racism at that point would be evident to a lot of people because the world was watching at this point.
Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful to celebrate the presidency of Barack Obama, but he's got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And certainly it's important for the electorate to prepare to hold his feet to the fire on those issues that are critical to us. If both of you could share for us what you think are some important issues that Barack Obama should be prepared to address broadly for the American public. And Dr. Jones, if you want to take that from the education perspective, Ms. Banks, if you want to take that from the perspective of health, access to health, public health. I'll start with you, Ms. Banks.
Well, clearly, I would like for there to be a universal health care plan or anything close or similar to that. I've had the opportunity to work in many disadvantaged communities of people who pay taxes like everyone else in this country, but can't go get, you know, simple screenings or their children are uninsured. So I'm excited and I'm hoping that we get somewhere close to that. And I think we will. Maybe not in the first 4 years, maybe in the next 8 years, but definitely Barack and his administration, I think he'll get things right. I think that disparity will close.
Okay. Thank you. And Dr. Jones?
From an education perspective, obviously the whole idea behind No Child Left Behind and actually having educators at the table to make some laws and legislation to support education in our communities and then the communities overall to really address the achievement gaps between blacks and whites and other minority groups and whites and poor whites and middle-class whites is really addressing these achievement gaps across the board and looking at special education and the needs of children with special needs and supporting families. And that's what I want to see. And I believe that will happen. He actually has educators that he's been in contact with and he's talking to. And I really believe that he's going to address some of the issues within education and higher ed as well.
I think he's going to keep everybody abreast of all of these issues. I don't know what your email inbox looked like during the election, but we were definitely kept
with everything.
So I think that's going to be a powerful tool, particularly in the area of health. We're trying to push legislation all the time.
Yes.
I'm definitely sure he's going to mobilize people to make things happen as well.
Yeah, he's a grassroots
organization. Yes.
I see that as
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think the campaign and how the campaign was done has shown the power of grassroots organizations and the power of those groups of people who are close to that need or in need. I see him using that same process with education and with healthcare as far as making sure that teachers and other educators, the children, people who are working with the children, have a say in what's going on and meeting the needs of the people in the classroom, the people in the schools.
Mm-hmm. We're going to leave it there, Tysana. Dr. Jones, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Bobby Banks, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. This was exciting. Thank you.
Oh, really appreciate y'all stopping down the Barack Obama block party. let me say that one more time. I'm not sure how I said that. I really appreciate y'all.
Appreciate y'all.
Stop by the Barack Obama block party.
All right.
All right. And we're out.
And with that, we bring the Barack Obama block party after party to a close. Thanks for listening. By the way, if you see any leftover barbecue, you're welcome to it. But don't touch my grape soda. For more information on the Tara Lake podcast or any of the guests on the Barack Obama block party, please visit taralake.com. As always, your questions and comments are welcome. Drop me an email at taralakeshow@gmail.com.